Agro South Africa. The background of Agro South Africa, just for the benefit of members who may not be much familiar with Agro South Africa, this is a body that was actually established in 1969 through the Department of Public Works, the report directed to the Department of Public Works. The main purpose of Agro South Africa is that it saves the whole construction and built environment to provide specialized testing and evaluation of new and innovative building systems. And when we talk about building systems, we're talking about all those systems where you do not have South African national standards. So anything that is not covered by the national standards is actually considered as innovative, and that has to be tested in order to ensure compliance to building regulations and building requirements by Agro South Africa. So the technical assessment thereof actually serves to assist the construction industry, the technical industry, the building control officers, in ensuring that they have authoritative technical scientific assessment done. So by having an Agro certificate, you are assured that the technical expertise, the technical scientific inputs have been made in assessing that specific product or building system. So this will then enable us to make quite a good expert judgment on the suitability of the particular product in the area of jurisdiction. So when we're talking about the area of jurisdiction and when we talk about the building products, we not only check the suitability of that product for one specific province, but we might actually look at the performance of that product in different areas. So recognizing that South Africa is with a number of different climatic conditions, we may actually assess and say that this product here is only suitable for the use in Cape Town, or is suitable for the use in Gauteng or so. So it also provides a specific type. So this strategic assistance then provides valuable information and enables modern construction methods to be actually come forth. Then the board of Agro South Africa, what is this role? The board obviously provides the oversight role. Department of Public Works and the Board of South Africa, they provide the oversight role over the entity and ensuring that the entity does fulfill its mandate and provide the relevant guidance. So in this regard here, I would like to say that the regular meetings were actually held throughout the financial year 2015-16, and where we had at least one meeting on a quarterly basis for the board. And we also, under the board, we have technical committee, which actually looks at the day-to-day operations from a technical point of view. And that technical committee meeting actually meets every when appropriate to ensure that certificates are issued on time. Right. If I go then through then the annual report in terms of the minister's foreword, it is very interesting just to note then that the bill was signed off on the 18th of December. If you recall then that Agro South Africa has got a bill which makes the Agro South Africa to be a juristic person, and that bill was signed off on the 18th of December 2015. And the Agro South Africa Act 11 of 2005 then followed through the relevant parliamentary processes, and I think I would want to actually say that the Agro South Africa subsequently observed all the considerations for the bill to be signed off, and I'm quite happy to say that all the processes have been followed. We are now in the process where we have a what you call the transitional task team, which is going to enable and make sure then that Agro South Africa, which was under an oversight by the CSIR, all the processes from the CSIR are actually handed over to Agro South Africa. So Agro South Africa was depending a lot, both from a financial management point of view, from the HR point of view, from the IT perspective. All those processes were dependent on the CSIR. So a transitional task team has been put in place, and this transitional task team will ensure then that it's a proper and a smooth handover of all those processes from CSIR to Agro SA. So everything, if I may actually go through them, what the minister, department of the minister's issues that was raised, then the Department of Public Works from the minister's office believes that some of the innovative construction technologies do play a very important role in fast-tracking much-needed infrastructure development. Right? If we're going to look at much of the infrastructure development, whether we're looking at the social infrastructure, we are looking at the housing infrastructure, a lot can actually be fast-tracked through the use of innovative building technologies. And that's what the Minister of Public Works has been promoting. So during the state of address of the National Address in 2016, His Excellency, Minister of Public Works, His Excellency, the President, noted this, that science, technology, and innovation as part of the 9-point plan to respond to the sluggish growth of the economy. The President, if I may quote verbatim what the President said, said that the Department of Science and Technology will finalize the Sovereign Innovation Fund, a public-private funding partnership which is aimed at commercializing innovations that are from ideas from the public and the private sector. Meaning that there are quite a number of innovations coming out from the public sector and from the private sector. And the President would want to actually see, set up and see innovation being promoted. If we look into the housing industry at the moment, there is a current housing backlog of more than 2.4 million houses. And if we also look at the social infrastructure in terms of clinics, in terms of schools, right, South Africa can only be able to eradicate such type of backlogs by use of innovative building methods, use of innovative building products. Right? And that is what actually the President has been highlighting in his statement. So this statement clearly emphasizes the important strategic role that Agroma South Africa can play in the overall macroeconomic development of South Africa. So if we are going to fast track, if we are going to make sure that we are not only fast tracking, but we are providing good quality products, it is time for us to be able to embrace innovative building methods and innovative building product assistance. Agroma South Africa's rigorous assessment system facilitates also the export of some of these products. So not only should we be looking at the production of innovative building systems for local use in South Africa, but we are also in a position to be able to export some of the innovative products. And some of those products that whose ideas have actually been generated locally can also be exported, not only within the region, the Southern African region, but also internationally. The Agroma South Africa's assessment procedure allows advances in national legislation to be incorporated as part and parcel of this technical assessment criteria. So it is also very, very good in that we do not only work in isolation in terms of the national building regulations, but we ensure that whatever we actually assess, the information, the knowledge that we have also gets a feedback into the legislative environment and inputs into some of the South African national standards. So we believe then that Agroma South Africa is an important player within the Department of Public Works family and contributes to the entire government's role of improving service delivery to the entire economy by executing its strategic mandate. Right. And the chairperson's overview says then that the Board of Agroma South Africa continues to exercise its oversight role over the agency, and as I highlighted earlier on, a very regular board meetings have been happening, and then this actually ensures that efficient and sustainable management of public works funds are transferred from the Department of Public Works, as well as ensuring then that the fees paid by the applicants in the form of technical assessment and annual fees is actually utilized effectively. So it is very vital from a corporate governance point of view that the board actually makes a very good oversight on the activities of Board of Agroma. And I will later on share with you the number of assessments, the number of technical products that are actually coming through Agroma South Africa and see the impact that the board has actually made over the number of years. So the term of the current Board of South Africa members was actually expired possibly I think about a year ago, and the term was extended by the minister so as to ensure then that there's proper transition from the current board to the new board as the new board is appointed early next year. So it is viewed as a critical, it is critical that the agents continue as a going concern without any disruption in the execution of this important strategic mandate. So the standard building regulations have also been in existence quite in a, for quite a number of years. I mean, the national building regulations have been there since the 1960s. Globally, the Agroma South Africa accommodates systems and products that are falling outside the scope of the national standards, which is what I explained earlier on. That is exactly our role. And there is a big confusion, and I will show you in a slide later on, between what is the role of the SAB as the South African Bureau of Standards and the role of Agroma South Africa. And I will just show you slightly what are the differences so that one is able to understand the role of Agroma South Africa. So as we go, the innovation, and unfortunately as well, and I must highlight it, although we might be using the word innovation in South Africa, some of the products and the number of products are not innovative. They have been in use all over the world. They are in use all over the world. But in the context of South Africa, they are new. They are new products. We have not seen them in South Africa. We have not tested them in our local environment. So in that sense, we actually refer to them as innovative. And we still need to test them to see that they are indeed suitable for the local conditions. From a corporate governance point of view, we have got 8 board members, and as I mentioned, I'm one of the 8 board members, and I'm the technical chair of the technical committee. And my background, I am actually an engineer. The chairperson is Mr. Peter Silinga. We do have strategic planning sessions, which are held at least once a year. And the technical committee, which is given all the responsibilities by the board to look at the technical assistance, as well as the responsibility to review evaluation reports. It is the technical committee's responsibility to draft certificates if they are satisfied that this product will actually meet the required national building regulations. The technical committee also relies heavily on external technical experts. But as a technical committee, we do not necessarily have all the technical expertise because we are looking at products that can range from building products to sanitary products to road traffic products. So we do not necessarily have all the technical expertise. In such cases, we then engage with a panel of external technical experts to assist us in doing the technical evaluation. So this is very critical for us when we look at credibility and independence of the expert opinion provided by us. And what we define as a technical expert is that a technical expert is any individual who has the expert knowledge, the expert experience, training and skills to provide an expert professional opinion on the fitness for purpose of the product, or fitness for purpose of this construction system in general for use in the construction or building industry. So Agroma South Africa selects these technical experts who are recognized as industry leaders in their own profession. So when we are really talking about fire, we do have a panel of fire experts. We do have a panel of materials experts, durability experts. We use some of the professors from the different universities, etc., to give us their knowledge in terms of structural performance of those buildings. So the board ensures that Agroma South Africa is very well governed and that financial statements are audited and we receive a clean audit report. This demo here just highlights the attendance of the different board members in terms of attending the board meetings and the cost to the entity over the financial year 2015-16. And you can see that 4 of the members there are actually public representatives, so they do not actually claim anything from the entity. So the total cost to the entity was almost 48,000. For the other remaining 4 board members who are from private sector. What is in our vision as as Agroma South Africa, our vision obviously is to be a world-class technical assessment agency. And I would really want for members to realize this, that Agroma South Africa, there are a number of bodies similar to Agroma South Africa all over the world. As I'm talking now, there is a World Federation of these technical agencies conference that is happening. There are possibly more than about 15 to 20 organizations similar to Agroma. So if we do need to take some certain expertise in some of the products, we actually tap in to some of the members who are actually members of the WFTAO. So our objective is to actually ensure that there's proper assessment and certification of innovative, non-standard construction products, systems, materials, components, and processes. And where we highlighted those processes which are not fully covered by South African Bureau of Standards or a Code of Practice. This is the sketch that, unfortunately, maybe it's not really clear, and where I wanted to actually specify and highlight the different roles of CSIR, Agroma South Africa, and SAPS. In a life cycle development of any product, you start off with conceptualization of your technology. You then move into the product development and you start to introduce the product into the market. So when you conceptualize, at conceptualization level, this is where you involve research institutions such as your CSIR. They're still looking at the concept. And once that concept has been, the product has been conceptualized, you now go into technology development. When you go into technology development, this is where you now start to involve Agroma South Africa and now say, how can I develop this specific product? They start to assist the individual, the companies in the technology development. And once the technology has been fully developed, so it's a new product, and this product here, you can see that it might be, instead of it being brick and mortar, it is now what you call, let's say, expanded polystyrene. Expanded polystyrene example is, if you buy a fridge, you find that material that is actually protecting the fridge, or the material that is protecting your TV is polystyrene. You can use that as a building product. But we do not know as yet the performance of that material in fire. We do not know whether that product is going to be durable for the next 30 years or so. So that is where Agroma now moves in to test that product for its performance under fire conditions, for its performance over the next 30 years, for its performance in under thermal conditions, is it warm in winter, cool in summer, all those tests are then done. But with time, when you start to understand that product, you now move that product now from being innovative to being a standard. Because now we now understand the product. So the same thing that has happened with brick, the same thing that has happened with steel, and you find that there's a product called lightweight steel that is actually in the industry now. We now know and understand it. So there's now a standard with reference to that. So that is now the space of the SAPS. The product, now know their behavior, now know how they are functioning. It is now the role of SAPS to come up with a standard. And all you have to do with your product is to ensure that it complies with the national standard developed by the SAPS. So the SAPS, they are working in the domain of the known. Agroma is working in the domain of the unknown. And that must actually be very clear and distinct. Our organizational structure, we've got then the Board of South Africa. As I mentioned, there's the chairperson and the members who's operating at strategic level. And then we've got the technical committee, which looks at the assessment of these products and approves these innovations and recommends them to the Board of South Africa. Then we've got the members, the technical agents, which is actually the officials from Agroma South Africa. And we do have a number of the external industry technical experts, as I indicated earlier on. What are the benefits of having an Agroma certificate? One, it can lead to performance of infrastructure due to advancements in product and building systems, right? And can lead to improvement of existing products and leads to doing more with less. So one of the things that we want to be able to do, we need a product, something that one has got comfort to say that this product here can meet the performance requirements of those in regulation. Something that is actually, that I can utilize faster and efficient, but still get the same result. And that is what we actually offer in terms of having a growth certificate. Making sure that we give comfort to the end user to ensure that, that this product here meets all the necessary requirements. And I'll get on to the number of certificates granted annually, and been actually seen that those numbers there on that graph has been actually been increasing, and I'm going to quantify them a little bit later on. But you can see that the numbers have been growing from the early 2000 years to now it's getting to the 2014, 2015. But I'm going to give a more breakdown on these numbers later on. So if you consider the benefits of AgroMa certificate, we see that they can contribute to accelerated infrastructure development. So if you have got speed, and let me tell you, I mean, if you're looking at a typical house, you can, and there are a number of products where you can actually build a house provided the foundation is done. You can build a house in 2 hours. The foundation has been done, complete, tested, and everything else compliant. But there are also certain other social issues that we also need to take cognizance of. Right? So from a social acceptability point of view, right? Because some people believe that if there's a knock-on effect, then it means that the product does not comply to standards. That's not necessarily true, because it is going through a rigorous testing to ensure that this product is indeed. But we need to be able to see and to assist people in understanding benefits from a social perspective point of view. It's a challenge which we recognize that social acceptability is an issue that we need to be able to address. Right? But as AgroMa, we then give you a reassurance of fitness for purpose. This product is fit for its specific purpose. It's an authoritative assessment of system performance. So as soon as we have granted up the certificate, and I tell you that when you come to the technical committee where we have, let's say, about 15 technical experts, and if everyone argues there that has this been addressed, has that been addressed, when you get that a certificate of compliance, you know this product is meeting the necessary technical requirements. So it is an authoritative document that we provide. As I mentioned, you can easily address all the housing battles that we actually see. Our modus operandi, AgroMa South Africa receives from members of the public innovative construction systems and products for which there are no national standards of course of practice. We carry out holistic and comprehensive technical assessments to evaluate the suitability of the products, evaluate the suitability of the system, and check that it is fit for purpose. There is independent and authoritative assessments done based on actual tests carried out. And I believe me not, we do have a testing laboratories where we don't have, we actually make sure we build the whole house, we build the whole building, we build the whole product, test it and crash it and make sure that it does comply. Right. If it is a fire, throw the whole product into fire. And ensure it assesses in 30 minutes. If the product must withstand 30 minutes, get it into fire for 30 minutes. If it must withstand 1 hour, put it under fire conditions for 1 hour and observe its performance. So we are actually guaranteeing them that it has been done adequately. We define performance in use without specifying how the performance will actually be attained. We also develop performance criteria. So as we gain knowledge, we refine our performance criteria. So sometimes when we build the products are built, because we've done some theoretical, we've done some practical assessments of quality to fire and all those kind of things. But as products are built on the ground, we also go and check how they are performing on the ground. That's part and parcel of the learning process. So once we see this issue here is not compliant, that we go back in onto the drawing board and we review our own performance criteria and ensure that the product in the future it does perform much more better. And as I say, with that continuous type of learning, we would then end up with a standard, right, once we are actually helping with the performance of the program. And then what are the typical things that we actually evaluate on, our scope of evaluation? Right, let me highlight this clearly. Number one, structural strength and stability. That's it. Take this product, build the wall, build the house, crash it. Build the clinic, crash it. You see that wall? Look at it under different wind loadings, winds, under different seismic activities. Do everything. That is from a structural strength and stability point of view. We do that. Water penetration and rising dam. Take the product into a water penetration laboratory. Put up water there and see that water does not penetrate to the other side. We do that comprehensively. Thermal and energy performance. Make sure then that we simulate it and see is it indeed meeting the thermal conditions of South Africa, the different climatic conditions. So we might be able to say, no, your product is good in these areas here, but you cannot use it in Cape Town because of the climatic conditions in Cape Town. Right. Performance in fire, I've mentioned it. Quality management system. Now, once you've tested all these things, give us a quality management system. How are you going to put these products together? So the certificate that we issue is for the quality management system from A, B, C, this is how you assemble it on site. So that when we go back on site, we must make sure that you are assembling it as approved in the certificate. Any deviation from the certificate, we stop the product. Because you are no longer complying with the requirements stipulated by the certificate. Conformity to national building regulations, every product that is to be used in building construction must conform national building regulations and ensure that the performance requirements stipulated in national building regulations are complied with. Condensation. Condensation is a critical issue in the southern coastal condensation problematic areas. So all those areas that are defined as the southern coastal condensation problematic areas, we check that this product meets those requirements and is suitable for use in those specific areas. Acoustics. I mean, we're talking here next to the door. If it is a house, one room to the next room, do you have proper acoustics performances? Right? So we do check it and ensure then that it does meet the relevant acoustics requirements. The noise levels are acceptable from one building to the next building, from one room to the next room, all those things we do check again. Accuracy in building, tolerances, then that this building here cannot be built 5 millimeters this or 5 millimeters that way, we do check that. Durability. If it is a house, is it durable for the next 30 years? If it is a building, is it durable for the next 50 years or whatever it is? So we look at accelerated durability. We do even take the product, we put it in an accelerated test and see how is this going to be durable for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or in the next 50 years. Achievements against demand is what we have achieved, I think, with Agroma South Africa. We believe that we do serve consumer interest by providing assurance of fitness for purpose. And we have worked with the construction industry in the development of cost-effective, innovative, and non-standardized construction technologies. I think we, with the limited funds we have, I think we have done quite a lot. We have provided consumers with the relevant tests that they require. We do disseminate correct, objective, and relevant information to all concerned in respect of the technical, socio-economic, and regulatory aspects of innovative and non-standard construction technologies. We do also continue to support policymakers at all levels and to minimize the risks associated with the use of innovative technologies. So we want to do that. We want to ensure then that we influence policy where innovative technologies cannot be used to advise us. So the agency staff are actively involved in a number of these SAPS standards. So as I said, we do not end up only saying after looking at the innovative product, we go to the SAPS, we sit in their committees and ensure them that the standards that are being generated there are indeed correctly the reflection of the performance criteria required. Agroma South Africa will also support the application of the National Building Regulations. The National Building Regulations are currently under review. We are sitting there. We contribute to the National Building Regulations. Agromus Africa also actively maintains international links with peer organizations, as I mentioned earlier on, WFGAO, we are participating there, and to continue to support the South African construction industry's export activities by facilitating the approval of South African innovative construction or products. We also continue to facilitate the acceptance of innovative products within the context of government's new priorities and policies. And I think there was also a stipulation that by PIC that at least 60% of all the social infrastructure must use innovative building technologies. So in that sense, we as the Agroma will then push and make sure then that the products that are going to be used here do comply. Right? So it's not only a question that we must satisfy the 60%, but we must make sure that the products that are being used there, they do comply with the relevant. So our performance outputs, our portfolio committee members, will just give you a list of some of the certificates that have been granted. And I mean, without getting into any of those technical details, I think there are a number of products, from the building products, material products, to any of the signage road tracks. So we've got the Abacus E-Space building system, which is shown there, over the Beta Board building system, and the Echo Solutions building systems, and I don't think I would want to actually get into the details, but there are a number of those pictures shown around. The Bravo Mass building system, the direct sanitation application system. That said, we do look into these things here, from building systems, sanitation systems, Duraform insulation as a product, an insulation product. We have looked into roads, the Echo Board is a non-technical soil stabilization for road networks. We've also looked into a very interesting product, the autoclaved aerated concrete. Autoclaved aerated concrete at one point, Chairperson, it would be interesting just to take a portfolio committee members and see how to build using some of these products here and how easy it is. Some of these products are very much lightweight concrete, like it's a lightweight concrete. You are actually able to make a block of this size here and you're able to lift it, put it on site, and anyone can actually lift that particular block. But at the same time, it looks concrete, but it does satisfy all the technical requirements. Geopanel formwork systems and innovation, again, we've looked into innovation from foundations to top structures, to sanitary systems, to road products. So the one there on the left-hand side is called Geoplast Modular Foundation System. Geoplast Modular Foundation System is like the kindergarten table. You can see those kindergarten on the left top, left-hand side. It's like a kindergarten table. Those kindergarten tables, you put them together, connect them together as a foundation. Right? You have a flat bed, put those kindergarten tables, pour concrete, and it becomes actually a foundation solution. Very, very effective, and has been used successfully here in Western Cape and in Eastern Cape. The ITAS access control system for some of your doors, security doors, the IO building system, which has also been identified. The jet vacuum sanitary system, so we'll be looking at some of those sanitary systems that I mentioned. Quick space modular building system, which is again another building system. The Makoro water and liquid storage system, very similar to the most famous Jojo storage tanks. The Jojo storage tanks, we did approve them, if I'm not mistaken, last year or the previous year, we've approved them. And all of a sudden, we find everyone else, or because it's a good marketing strategy, so everyone else also comes in to get their Agroma certificate. So you find products that are similar to Jojo and other people also coming to get their certification. The Micros Dual Stick or Loop Traffic, your traffic monitoring system, so the traffic moving through, you are able to actually have a proper count. So there are a number of different monitoring systems for traffic, which you've actually used. So the permanent dual traffic monitoring system, as well as the TL00P8. So there are quite a number of them, the different monitoring systems for traffic monitoring systems that we have actually approved. As I said again, This is now a different domain altogether. It requires experts who can actually be able to deal and help us. And with this, we work very closely with the CSIR, because CSIR has got a very, very comprehensive research team that looks at traffic systems, and we work with them in order for us to get this, all these projects identified. Also looked at the modular fiber reinforced concrete building system, modular fiber reinforced concrete system used quite well internationally, and we looked at it and approved that as well. The polyform building system, also look at the ProClose Sleep Crash Garden Beep. So all these products here, all looked at from that point. The Profiled Infrared Rod Repair System, some of the products, building systems from China, cell-crit building systems. So building systems are coming all over, from all over the world, be it from China, from Venezuela, Japan, etc. All those building systems also coming. But we do test all of them and make sure they comply. The staining building system, the coating building, coating system, so also looking at the painting systems and different types of technologies. The Sutherland Tex coating system, so now we are now looking at products instead of building systems, so a waterproofing, or whether it's actually a painting system, we actually look also at the final systems. The CCE plastic water storage system, this is also a different storage system. The TensorFinger RSFD bridge deck. You know, bridge decks, when you cross over some of these bridges. So we can look at the variety. Not only are we looking at building systems, but anything, any innovative construction product or system. So when you drive over a bridge, when there's a joint, sometimes you hear a lot of noises, right, when you cross over the joint. So people come up with innovative joints that do not necessarily make noise. And these are some of the things that we actually look at. Right? Non-intrusive loop traffic monitoring system, thin bituminous road surfacing technologies. So these are some of the products that we've actually looked at in the 2015-16 financial year. If we look into the details, the applications that we received was about 28. I'm looking at the first column, which is the actual 2015-16, and the rest of the years are the pre-processed from 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So in this financial year of 2015-16, we received 28. We made offers to 22 of those 28, right? Meaning that this is what we can do, and when we make an offer, we are now saying this is what we're going to assess, and they accept those offers, because I think people can come up with anything at all, and we advise them, is this going to make it or is not going to make it, right? So after we've given an offer, people also accept or they decline. So we say this is going to be, nothing's for free. Obviously when we assess, we've got all those technical experts, they have to be paid. So after making an assessment, somebody accepts the offer, and when they accept the offer, we then go and do rigorous testing and the assessment. So the certificates that we issued in the year, obviously some of them coming over from the previous financial years, we issued our 2018 certificates. And the current systems that are still in place, as we are talking now, active products, we have got about 70 building products that are active. The building systems that are active, the certificates 53, the roads products that are active 24, and the dimensions that are only had 4 board meetings to deal with those certificates. Our financial performance for 2015-16, and compared to the previous one, 2014-18, our total income was just under 14 million, 13.9 million compared to 11.7 million in the previous financial year. The grant that we received from government then was 10.2 million compared to just under 10 million in the financial year. That is actually the grant received from that. And the income, we get our income from the local private sector, as I mentioned. So the individuals coming through, they want assessment, The public sector, very little. The international sector, we do have that. So from the local, the private sector, the public sector, the international sector, our contract income was of the order of 3.6 million. Our expenses is then looking at the salaries, the depreciation and the operating expenses comes to 18.5 million. So our total income was 18.9 vis-a-vis our expenses of 18.5 million, giving us just a margin of 363,000 for that specific year. Right? And if we add on the finance income of 162, gives us a margin of just over half a million. Right? Compared to the previous financial year, our margin for the year was 367, and we improved it from 367 million to 567,000 to 526,000. So we're just making it. Comparing to our outputs, I think this is at the lowest. Colleagues, I would want to end there and take any questions or clarification so that it is. And as I said, I've got the CFO with me here. If there are any financial issues, we'll be able to assist. Thank you very much.
Dr. Jeffrey Martin, thank you very much for your very passionate input, which is obviously appreciated. I'm going to note you members, just give me a chance to make one or two remarks. The remark that I would like to make, when you commenced, you did start off with apologies on behalf of the CEO who is abroad attending a AgriMar-related type of conference or engagement. Then you also tendered an apology on behalf of the chairperson of the board. Now, what concerns me, the importance of having the CEO here report. The CEO at the management level and others are responsible for the day-to-day operations of AgriMar. And my understanding is that the board of any institution has a judicial responsibility, oversight over the functions of the entity. Although you have given us a very good report, it's from the perspective of a board member. So the element that's lacking for me is from the CEO, the management, day-to-day management of the entity. So this is just what I wanted to table. The other issue in regard to the apologies that you tendered for the two individuals, I checked with the committee staff and also the secretary in my office. I have not been privileged with a written apology. So in future, it's not good enough for the presenter to come and make a verbal an apology. Otherwise, members, if we knew that the CEO would not be here, we would at least I'd be able to alert members to know who's going to make the presentation so that they can also scope the engagement with the individual that comes. I just wanted to table those issues.
Related part.
Okay.
Yes, you mind. Do you have 2 minutes? And I guess I'm raising it more as a member of parliament than as a deputy minister. But if one looks at slide 10, it's related to the point you made. It gives us a table of board meetings attended. And what you will see there is that the chair of the board in the year under review 15-16 has not attended a single meeting. Not only do we have a verbal apology for not attending this presentation, we also note that not a single attendee, Mr. Heavy Sling, has not attended a single. Just for that, obviously something that as the department, and I will obviously refer to the minister, that we need to know. Particularly as we have as you correctly indicated, allows the board, which his term has expired, to continue in existence, obviously, because we're in a transitional, as you correctly said, in a transitional period in terms of the new legislation. But I just wanted to add that because I think it's material.
Thank you very much, Chairman Minister. Obviously, we can't have a board member that's just there inviting the chair, who has not attended a single meeting. And it means we don't have a chair effectively. Let me start with the members that are there. Mr. Masiele, Honorable Sitole, Honorable Adams, Honorable the good doctor. We've got many doctors here. Honorable Sotani, Honorable Kolabane, and Honorable Max Sobani. In that order, please. Thank you very much. I didn't see you any of Honorable
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the report as presented. First of all, I wanted to check as to whether these products that we are producing, are they really used in large scale in our area? If not, what could be the problem? Because in most cases, it's very difficult to find them in normal retail shops and so on. How do we access them if we need them? Then on slide number, 10 here, I just want to congratulate the entity for the clean audit, which is to me is very good. From the time you have been using this product that you are coming up with, haven't you come across where they collapsed even before the last thing that we are expecting? How are they doing in most cases? If so, how often does that happen? On slide number 25, I've seen this one here, the Eco Bond, one number 25. We normally have a very serious problem with the re-graveling of roads. At times, the tarring is becoming very expensive. The re-graveling also doesn't last much. And when it gets worn out, it becomes even worse for traffic. You cannot even travel on it. This Eco Bond, how durable is it? Can it be used in those rural areas where they are still using gravel roads and grass for some time? If you can advise us on that one. And do we normally check our products on how they compare with the other counterparts, like for example the geocraft on how do they compare with the others that we normally use? Are they more durable than them, or maybe they are a bit inferior compared to those? Okay. I think that is what I had. And again, I want to look onto the slide that is not numbered here, but the one that is talking about comparing the actual audit annual financial performances. Throughout the presentation, I didn't see it talking to percentages. It's normally easier if the percentages are also included so that we are able to see because what is actually happening. Employee remuneration, 7.2 million, to which is slightly above 50% when I check, because percentage have not been provided here. It is not too high. Why is it circumstances compared to what is normally acceptable in government. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we must actually welcome the report. Although the management shows that they don't respect the company. That's my position and my concern. Chairperson, I want to follow to the honourable members on slide 32. That's the first one. Where she was talking about slide 32. They are talking about the grants. What I want to find out, they received that grant from the government or CSIR, which one is that amount, which is how much? 10.2. Where did they get that grant from government or CSIR? And the other key person that I want to find out, because the only key is about there is no auditing from the agriculture. Because we cannot say it's your unqualified audit when you are not being audited. That's what I want to get from you. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the right cycle of this innovation method. How long does it take? The life cycle of this innovation life cycle. And the other question is the promotion or system that we are using to promote or to market this innovation. Do you have any marketing system to so that people must know what agreements are that we have? Because sometimes we find that it shows that.
Margin of the year. What other expenses did you have? Or did you not have? For the increase from
project. What is the standard income? You say in 14-15 you have 9.5, and in 13-15 you have 14.6. What is other income? On my slide 9, globally the AGRIMA system accommodates systems and products falling outside the scope of national standards. Can you make this a little bit clearer? And Chairperson, there was one, I can't remember this one. Yeah. And then on slide 19, you've given us a graph on the number of certificates granted annually. And this graph stops at 12-13. Why didn't you do it till 12-15? Because it is an annual report. You are obliged to do it. Come, can you tell us now? The graph will speak for itself. Yeah, that's missing. I have noted it here. Honorable Member, 13-14 is missing. 14-15 is missing. Let's mark one wonder, Jefferson. I want to put in there. Then on slide 20, that graph there against the growth and the size. Are you telling us that you are not technically advanced enough, but showing us emerging technology? That graph on slide, my slide 20. There's a blue one. There's an aquamarine one. What is that graph supposed to tell us? I can read. And then Chairperson, I'm very interested in this EcoBlast modular foundation system, this jet vacuum sanitary system, and that one on the road. Now we are Department of Public Works, and you report to us. How many of these systems are implemented in the work that we as Public Works do? For example, the roads, the jet extraction thing. Where is it used? Is it used? And where is it used? By government departments. Thank you, Jeff. person. Thank you for your indulgence, and thank you for translating.
The honorable member, one of the material points that she has made is that in regard to innovative newfangled materials, how far has the organization gone with regard to public education for people to be able to accept the innovative building methods? For example, there's a common perception that if you buy a house, the house should be made of brick and mortar. And then in a number of projects, I'm just giving an example, in a number of projects, you'd find that where panels and innovative methods are used, people normally start at the level of so-called RDP housing. So then the perception in the public mind is that it's a cheap form of providing housing. Whereas if the same technologies had to be seen being applied to so-called upmarket housing, building schools, building clinics, then there would be a general acceptance. This is the angle that she speaks to, the social acceptance of the form of housing, the methods that I used to build it. The other point that she made was also in the form of question. There are a number of what the presenter said, imported innovative technologies that are being utilized in South Africa, and the presenter did mention that they are innovative in terms of their application in South Africa, but they've been used in other countries. The sense that I got was, out of all these technologies, is there a way of appraising or coming to a conclusion? If quite a number of them were investigated, how many of them find adequate application in the South African context? I guess I'll probably end. Then the next honorable member, the good Dr. Madlock.
Thanks, honorable chair. Thanks to Agrima South Africa and greetings to the deputy minister. I appreciate his presence. Chair, no, we want to welcome the report. I think it was a good report. And also to congratulate you in getting clean audit, although we still questioned whether it's you or yes, I have. I was just checking because you, when you presented, you indicated that everything was done by yes, I have. Whether now is it them that bought it, that came bought it, or it's you. Secondly, Chair, I want to check, you talk about the task team to manage the transitional arrangement. I want to check what is the duration of the task team. Secondly, you indicate your reliance on the external expertise. Do you see Agrima South Africa in future in sourcing most of the work that is currently dependent on the external technical expertise? What is following that one? I want to check the staff that you have. Are they relevant? Because this is a technical field, you know. Are they relevant to the mandate of Agrima South Africa? And can you briefly indicate the actual roles of the staff of Agrima South Africa? What is their actual role? And are they relevant to the mandate that you are in? I'm covered by the Deputy Minister, although I still have got a concern about the attendance of the board, the one that was supposed to be chairperson. I don't know whether it's a chairperson because he never attended the work. and also the other attendance by other board members, you can see one. They came just once, you know. That is a concern that one is having, and I know that it has been intended so that there can be a smooth transition, not just cut off. And also, I think my colleague picked up this thing of cut and paste, 7. But I also see Friday, the 7th of October, I noted that one on page 16. It was Friday on that one, but 7th of October in the beginning, it was Wednesday, 7th of October. So these things, I think, must be corrected, this cut and paste. Are there any current vacancies at the moment in Agrima, South Africa? If yes, in which areas? Also, yeah, in which areas? No, I'm covered on the lifespan of this product. I think my colleague raised it. So I can stop the chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. You did tender your apology that you need to attend to your other committee. Thank you for your contribution. The Honorable Pertani.
Thank you, sir. Quite frankly, I'm seriously disappointed with the lack of respect that we're getting agreements of Africa. There is absolutely no justification for accepting this proposal, let alone welcome it. Just doesn't exist. But if you want us to proceed, Chair, I can only, an extreme tolerance, accept that you say we must proceed. Basically, what we should have done, the moment we got those verbal apologies, we should release them to go home. Think seriously as to whether they think it's worth our while to listen to them. I'm glad that I'm not the only one who has spotted this untidy work, apparent cut and paste. I'd already checked on my phone when was the 7th of October 2015. That's where I'm starting from. Blatant cut and paste. If it is not, why bring us a judgment which about 90% of which has got a different date? I think that is a reason valid enough for not accepting this report. Nobody has taken serious attention to preparing us a board-approved report. Nobody has done that. You look at the rates at which board members are paid for attending meetings. I don't think there was one meeting that said to look at this report. In fact, I'm prepared to stop right there before I proceed with my other questions and ask if and when did the board sit to look at this report before it's presented to us. And I'll see if it's worth my while to even put further questions. I'm prepared to stop right there on that understanding. I'd like the board to know.
Honorable President, thanks for your contribution. You will recall that before we started this engagement, I did make mention that the CEO is the person who reports on behalf of management. I did point out the material defect that we are having a board member, and the board's responsibility is a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that the entity carries out its mandate vision. And I did speak to the conflation of the resources. The good doctor is reporting at the board member, but we don't have management here. Management is supposed to report here. The other consideration that I took was that we are all gathered here, and a delegation has flown in. I looked at the aspect of wasteful expenditure. It would have been possible, it would have been correct to say that we don't have the requested people to move in report yet, and then say that there's no meeting. But I'd like you to raise whatever issues that you have, so that the good doctor can report back to the board, and on another occasion we'll ensure that we do have the management and the requisite board members to be here when we tackle the issues that are raised here. But I'm sure that even from the speakers that have spoken, the contribution that was also made by the Deputy Minister, the board member is aware of what the feelings of the House is. So I would request you to continue and pose the questions and make the comments that you have.
Thank you, sir. I promise to cooperate. I know Pepper's later.
You may lower your tie.
Yeah.
And it's not honorable qualified.
I think I'll think about a good old school day when you're ready for a fight to throw the test. Just to prevent the other boy from strangling you.
I think, and I'm not being personal, Jack, I think Peppy is overloaded with membership or chairmanship of so many boards in South Africa. He's a good guy. Very, very good, I know very well. But I think he is overloaded. Too much. One of the most overloaded chairpersons. That's because he's very good. Everybody goes for him. That's why his rate is so high. Extremely overloaded. I hope, and I know from your position as a board member, you may not feel comfortable. But I hope that the minister would convey this sense that, you know, especially that the minister has already indicated that he hardly attended a single one. And that's the reason. He is carrying a multi-billion rand, program down in Nelson Mandela Bay, Kuha. It's right on his shoulders. He's doing an excellent job bringing in investors and so on. He's doing an excellent job. But I think the man is simply overloaded. I'm saying this with absolute, humility. I respect the man. He is just too brilliant. I know why. That's why everybody's going for Peppy Seleka, you know. Just his signature, his presence makes a big difference to anything that you perceive. He's very credible. But now, if he does this, then he's undermining his own integrity. Technical questions.
Just on that point, I must also place on record, if we were to look at the minutes of previous public works, it's an issue that has been raised. It's an issue that the department is aware of, where the department also said that they need an audit of board members, where you find, in order to update the issue that you are highlighting, where there are certain individuals that are over-prescribed for the reasons that you say. Their names are just everywhere, but they are nowhere to be seen to make them appear. So it is an issue that the department has articulated.
Thank you, sir. Okay. What percentage of public infrastructure is already using these innovative methods? And what is the socio-economic level? And in a differently framed or structured sentence, I did put this question the last time you were here with us. I put it in much simpler terms, because I wanted to know, where does one find it? And I got some kind of response, but it was definitely far from being an answer. You know, we just do not seem to see it. I'm in touch with people who are involved in building the schools, who have just come back from Mpumalanga, where we saw projects ranging from 400,000 rands, to a couple of millions, of rands. Nowhere did any of the project managers or architects said that there is, or public works or IGT say that here we have got a special innovative method. So government funding is flowing towards social infrastructure, but they say in Mpumalanga there was no trace, and I'm not sure if you are able to tell us where we are, but I'm not undermining your response to it all. That's why I want to know now in percentage terms, so that you don't have to look for it in Upington or in Cape Town, just in percentage terms. This is to assess the impact, that you exist for. And on slide 8, is the extension provided for extension of what the board is doing is it provided for in the recently signed legislation. It is okay for a board to say we are giving ourselves more time, you know, to execute some functions. But is it provided for? Are you doing something legal? Because you find a situation in South Africa time and time again where people would, in good spirit of cooperation, would say, we extend our stay, SABC, so on and so forth. And then later somebody says, this was illegal. Decisions taken in those meetings are actually unlawful because there was no legal basis for extending your stay. So I would love to know if what you are doing is actually provided for and which piece of legislation allows you to stay on once the president signed the bill into an act. For how long were you supposed to continue to stay, you know, as you are? Gaining the status of a legal person is a serious matter. And that's why now I want to know why you're still there operating in that interim. Slide 20. Oh, sorry. It was a remark that you made which impressed me, that a house can be built within 2 hours. How many times and how many different conditions do you test the product? How many times and in how many different conditions do you test the product? I have got background of being associated with an international healthcare company, a multi-level company. And I know when they were testing a product, which they said is clinically proven, it can actually arrest, you know, with the development of HIV/AIDS. They have tested it in all continents, over 4,000 people over a period of 4 years. And it's from that knowledge of the testing systems that I'm asking this question. And the foundation systems, how many days do you allow for it to stabilize, you know, where before you can actually build on it, you know? I know normally people pour that concrete, then the standard thing is that you wait for a minimum of 7-11 days. You can go up to 21 days before you can build on it. So that's why I'm interested to know in this case. And how many stories can it tolerate? Single story, 5 stories, and so on. And the waterproofing you speak of on slide 30, on what type of roofing can it be used? And how much slant can it take? In other words, you think about a flat roof, you think about a gable, and so forth. Can it be used in any type of roofing, you know, tiles, and so on and so on? And one would love to know more about the product because there is so much water seepage that one finds from time to time as a move along. That's why I would like to know what type of you know, material or what type of material can it be used, as well as what slant can it take. Thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
Honourable Fakani, thank you very much. Honourable Kwalabani.
Thank you, Chair. It's about, again, I think everyone's had something to say about the chairperson, Peggy Selinga. I know you seem to love him dearly, but he's invisible. Okay? And the Deputy Minister said, oh, but we decided to keep everybody on because it's an interim moment. But this interim moment is going to be interim for how many years? Because it seems to me that, all right, there's no move to make OMA a standalone entity. It all falls under the CSIR and has done for 47 years. But the last year's legislation, Act 11, made this a juristic persona as such. The funding mechanism's now on track, but there's a transitional task team with no end in sight. Nowhere can I find any date where they'll pack their bags and go. So somehow they're overseeing something somewhere. Not too sure who they are, where they are. Maybe they're also ghosts along with your chairperson. But it does make it very awkward. I have to tell you Dr. Mahati is so enthusiastic about this body. He makes me want to come and join it if I had the brain power to do so. I don't think I do. But it's very awkward, and I believe him to be hamstrung by being an acting chair, endless acting. I think this needs to be sorted out. It cannot be left for some indeterminate time, 2, 3, 4 years somewhere down the line. I think it must be sorted out, because you cannot have people just use their name on a piece of paper. I mean, did he really write the foreword, this one here, or did you write it, sir? Because my belief is you wrote it and put his picture on it because he's some big deal who everybody loves. I'm sorry, not acceptable. They're taking credit for the work you're doing, this man, and I think it's wrong, ethically wrong. Also, maybe someone asked, I wasn't too sure, perhaps you could just explain it to me. It's obviously a technical thing, how you can grant 38 certificates from 28 applications. I don't understand that. And, you know, looking at the vacancies, which we were asked to enumerate, do you at some stage, and I looked through all your... the people that you seem to work with and the entities you seem to work with, there was no reference to universities or technicons, etc., where you maybe tap in and say, we're going to need 20 more of these people with this sort of expertise. Is there anything like that that goes on to make sure that you have the quality coming through? Well, not that anyone's coming through university this year, but maybe in another year or two. You'll have the quality coming through and the right people qualified to do the work that you need. And my final question is to the Deputy Minister, who some months ago assured me I'd get a list of all the upcoming legislation. And I still don't have it, and I'm sure he's very busy, but maybe somebody could, sitting there, he could ask him for it.
Yeah, you don't worry.
Oh, good. I'm very glad. Not many men can multi-skill, so I was just treading on the nice thing. But thank you, I'm still waiting for that list.
Honourable Kola Bandit, thank you. Mwetapile Me Kobani.
Chair, my first question, I also want to join my colleagues regarding the absence of the chair elders. And I share the same sentiment with Honourable Diane to say whether the poor chairperson, if we ever even see what has been tabled before us, because it's still binding as a chairperson. I want to find out if he ever saw this presentation that is before us, let alone the annual report. And secondly, Chair, as they indicated about the presentation that they rely heavily on an external technical expert, can they just maybe tell us how much out of their budget they are using those people? Because I don't think it's for free. If it's for free, maybe they can also tell us. And secondly, what are the future plans to address this issue? Because I don't think it can continue going on like this. Because this, according to the presentation, the expertise are there outside. So what is it that they are doing at the agreement to bring those people on board, rather than every time we have to pay extra for them to be there? I hear many people congratulated agreement for the clean audit. I do agree with clean audit, it reflects a good governance. But at the end of the day, is to ask yourself, is it really bringing difference in terms of the life of the people down there? Because that's what we want. To cook the books to look good is fine, but the implement the impact on the life of the people. And Chair, my other question or concern, there is a slide 10 here that shows the board meetings. That's where we managed to see that the chairperson is not attending the meetings. But what is strange, I don't see the date. When are this meeting held? If maybe they can provide the date for the next time when they do the presentation. Chair, my colleagues also raised concerns, but there is a slide that's 2 years that shows the technical output that the certificate approved. During the presentation, the presenter indicated that there are 38 certificates that have been issued, and even said that they've been carried over from the previous years. I don't know, I'm not good in mathematics, Chair, but I don't think maybe can indicate, because each and every year there are specific numbers that have been given. So the ones that have been carried over, whether if you can clarify where did they come from. And this picture, this table for me, Chair, is really worrying because it shows a decline more than any growth. For example, they, one of their mandates, or what Azimba is doing, is to help us to address the issue of the backlog of the housing that we are in the country. But if you check the building product that was presented to them in 2014, that was about 107. Now it's 70. Building system, it was 127. Now it's 53. Everything is just declining. If maybe they can just explain to us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the
I was just wondering, it's 11 o'clock, if there's fresh tea outside, if we can have a 10-minute break, have tea, and then you'll be able to marshal your responses to all the questions. So, shall we break for...
Yes.
10 minutes if you insist.